Podcast. I'm your host, Winston Wittes, and I'm here today with a very special episode. Today's episode is how to be vegetarian. How to be vegetarian. What a biased, subjective thing to do a podcast about. And that's okay. Why? Because I've been vegetarian for a very long time. And I'm not the kind of person that, and I certainly don't want to, you know, call out meat eaters. That's not the plan here, right? To shame meat eaters. I don't care for that. Instead, what I do care about is just sharing my thoughts on it, because it's been, I've seen some neat things over the years, and I want to share my perspective. And maybe if you've ever considered trying to eat less meat, maybe something I say will inspire you to give it a try. Okay. So recently, a friend of my wife, also a friend of mine, she has been eating way less meat. She cut back after seeing a documentary on, I think, Netflix. I don't remember which one. I should know, but there's a good number of them out there, more and more, right? One I saw, probably the last one I saw on the topic was, it's called Farmology or Cowspiracy, I think is it. And that was a great one. Not too graphic, which I appreciate. I'm not trying to see crazy graphic things. Let me back up a bit. So I started becoming vegetarian when I was about six. I was in second grade, and our second grade teacher showed us videos about where our food comes from, primarily where our meat sources come from. And I still remember it pretty vividly. And I remember making that connection, like, oh, that, you know, there were slaughterhouse videos. Like, this is how animals are slaughtered. This is what happens, the process. And it was, you know, it showed everything. And it's like, okay. And I remember thinking, like, yeah, I don't ever want to eat an animal again. That's a horrible thing for an animal to go through. I love animals. And I also thought it was just gross. Like, it sickened me, right? And so I stopped. So I went home, and I remember making that connection of, like, oh, this is that, you know, like, this hamburger is that cow. Oh, that chicken is that chicken, you know, and, like, seeing how it got there, it really affected me, right? And so I told my parents, like, you know, I just kind of stopped eating it. And they were not happy about that, right? I was this little kid, and they were just not having it. And so it's like, no, this is what I made for dinner. You're eating it or you're going hungry. And so I would eat around it, right? And I would eat. And then there was, like, I remember one night in particular, my mom made fish, which I don't know if I ever liked fish, but I remember her to say, well, put mustard on it, you know, put these things on it so you don't taste it. And I remember, like, slathering this thing in mustard and trying to eat it and just being, like, so, you know, just almost losing it, right? And not even finishing it. I don't remember finishing. I think I had, like, a bite or two, and that was all I could do. And, you know, I think they kept thinking it was going to be a phase that I would grow out of. And eventually they realized, like, no, I wasn't eating it, and I was going hungry. And they just started, you know, showing me, like, oh, well, you could eat this. Like, here's chicken and dumplings. You eat the dumplings. Okay, here's salad. Here's bread. You know, so I grew up on bread and cheese and, you know, butter, bread and butter and bread rolls. Whenever we go out to dinner, basically I would try to grab some bread rolls before they were gone, because that was basically what I'd fill up on that. And then if there was salad, I'd have salad. So that was kind of the shorthand version of me growing up as a vegetarian in a family of meat eaters. And then, of course, my grandparents, you know, they used to take me out to eat every Friday. And they would notice that I would be, my grandfather always told the story about how they would take me out and they would see that the meat patty would be falling out of my hamburger. And so he, you know, was a little kid, so he'd, you know, help me out, push it back in. And then it would start happening again. Eventually, he realized that I was purposely pushing the meat out of the patty, and I was just eating the bread with the cheese and the vegetables on it, the lettuce and tomato. And so then they started ordering hamburgers with the hamburger on the side. And I still remember people just being like, what? Like, what do you, like, nobody could comprehend why somebody would do that. Like, what do you mean you want the meat on the side? Then it's not a hamburger. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Nobody does that. And still sometimes it would come and the meat would be on the burger just because, like, people could not wrap their heads around it. And this was, you know, what year is it? I guess 1986. Yeah, like this is in the early 80s, right? Mid 80s, I guess. And it was not a thing that people were aware of, vegetarianism, right? And so growing up, you know, my grandfather was big time meat eater, big time barbecuer, you know, my whole family, big time barbecue. And so I still ended up eating ribs, you know, for a good while because they would kind of not force feed me ribs, but that was like a big part of always like, and then I, you know, couldn't handle ribs anymore. And then, you know, bacon was still a thing I could eat because bacon's bacon and the texture. And maybe part of it is that I don't remember seeing a pig video. So that may be part of it, but I don't know. But it also, I think, tasted good in the texture. I could deal with a lot better. So bacon and beef jerky, I was still eating, you know, here and there. Until I was about 12 or 13. And so I was dealing with that growing up. And, you know, then over the time, it started becoming much more widely accepted. You know, vegetarianism started becoming kind of a thing that people knew about. They started making fake meats like, you know, Morningstar and soy. Like soy became a thing. They started making all these meat variation or like substitutes. And that was pretty awesome because then all of a sudden, I had all these other things I could eat that were not salad and not bread. And very cool, right? Veggie burgers became a thing. Heck yeah, that was like a game changer for me. And so anyway, here we are many years later, and this movie, Cowspiracy, shares some pretty interesting things about how much resources, particularly water, go into creating beef. Because cows need to drink water, right? They need to eat, they need to drink. And so how much water is used to grow the food that they eat? How much water do they drink? And, you know, cows create methane gas. They have four stomachs, so there's a lot of gas being produced. Methane gas goes up into the atmosphere, creates greenhouse gases, so not good for our environment either. And then you got this, it takes approximately, I think it's 450 gallons of water to create 1 pound of beef. Okay, friend, God darn, come on, you got to be kidding me. Sorry, friends, just trying to drive here, and people do crazy things on the road sometimes. Okay, so 450 gallons of water. But yeah, let's do a quick public service announcement. So the public service announcement for the Find Your Flow blog or podcast is to use your blinker. Please use your blinker. It is a nice thing to do. It is also the law in many states, I believe, and it makes flow more awesome, and it is considerate of your fellow drivers, and it makes you feel good when you do it, right? Because then you know you're being a good driver and not a jerky driver that cuts people off and doesn't pay attention. All right, so 450 gallons of water for 1 pound of beef. That's crazy, right? That's a lot of water. That is more than I have in my jacuzzi tub. And I used to feel really guilty about when, because I wanted a jacuzzi for years and years and years. That's always been something I wanted. And then I got it, and we're in the middle of this crazy drought in San Diego. And it's like, gosh darn, well, now I don't even, you know, can't fill it up. Then I started, you know, doing research. I was like, well, how could I, you know, cut my water use in other ways, right? I already take pretty short showers. We already cut back watering the grass. We took out the grass. We didn't have grass in the front yard. You know, so we're pretty minimal. I didn't see many other ways. But then I was reading this, you know, watched this movie and started doing some research. And it was like, oh, even the meat industry did their own independent study of this, because they heard that and they're like, no, that can't be right. And they came up with pretty much about the same numbers. And so it's like, okay, yeah, that's about what it is. And so I realized, well, you know, I use less water than that in my jacuzzi, and I keep that same water in there for 3 months at a time. So I could use the same water for months, and it's less than what somebody would consume in a week or in a few days eating beef. So I suddenly started feeling a lot less guilty about using my hot tub. All right. And so how can I improve that? If I already haven't been eating meat, well, I can share the word, right? I can share this message. So one of my friends, Elena's friends, she recently watched one, great documentary, and it educated her as to things with, you know, animal products versus plant-based products and this and that. And so she's cut out a lot of meat, and her husband has not. And he's very much in the belief of what a lot of people are, is like, hey, I'm a man, I'm gonna, you know, eating meat is a manly thing to do. You know, I grill it on the fire and that makes me more manly and awesome or whatever. You know, it's like, okay, well, where did that come from? You know, did that go back to our ancestors, where our ancestors, you know, growing cows in farms that they could just easily slaughter them? No, they were hunter-gatherers, and probably primarily gatherers and then hunters, right? Our teeth, you look at our teeth, we do not have meat-eater teeth. We have cow-type teeth. We have plant-eater teeth. So to think that we're going to go kill an animal with our claws or with our teeth, highly unlikely, right? So we start to look at these things, and it's like, okay, you know, how much of this is just made up by an industry that wants to sell us a product, right? There's plenty of cases of this. All sorts of industries built by creating these beliefs that are not even always based in reality. But if you start to believe it, it becomes reality, right? We talk about that in some of these other episodes. I was talking about, in a lot of episodes, I guess, about the way that our belief system changes our reality and how we can consciously change that. So, but there are these other things that go into it, right? Like if we're not aware of what it's doing to us, you know, I can believe that I can fly all I want, but then if I jump off something high and I don't have like a parachute or wings attached of some sort, then, you know, gravity doesn't care that that's what I truly believe, right? That my version of reality is going to conflict with the laws of gravity at some point if I'm not aware of it. Right? So I can't completely live in this bubble, or I can, until I can't. So how long can somebody live in a bubble of, hey, meat is good for me, and I'm going to eat as much as I can? And so I'll tell you, my grandfather had multiple heart attacks. I know I laugh, I'm sorry, but it was one of those things where it's like the first time he had it, we were all so worried, and it was horrible. And, you know, what did the doctor say? Well, stop eating so much red meat. And so he was just like, F that, that's not happening. He just kept eating meat. And then, you know, later he had another heart attack and, you know, same kind of thing. And I think he was good on his diet for a little while. And then, you know, then it's like, ah, life's short, forget it. I'm going to eat what I want to eat. And so anyway, this, you know, it is what it is, right? I mean, we each get to choose to make our own decisions, and that's awesome. So my goal with this podcast episode is just simply to say, there's a lot of very, and so another common thing I just want to address real quick is one of the first questions I get, not as much these days, but I used to get all the time, was, well, how do you get your protein? How do you get enough protein? It's like, shoot, I don't know. I'm old now and I still am alive and I'm healthier than a lot of people. You tell me how I'm getting my protein. Maybe protein isn't all, you know, obviously it's important. Is it as important as everybody says? I don't know. I'm still alive. I do drink some protein powder here and there. In the morning, I have a scoop of protein powder, and then I eat vegetables and grains during the day and some tofu. And, you know, tofu, okay, yeah, people say, oh, that's got estrogen in it. Yeah, so does a lot of things. So does beer. So does, I believe probably meat is, meat and milk are injected with hormones, right? To help the animals, or the cow, I should say, is injected with hormones to make it produce more milk. Well, what kind of hormones produce milk? Male hormones? No. Estrogen, right? So why do girls get their periods earlier nowadays? Why are girls having, you know, breast development earlier nowadays? Because they're drinking milk. They're eating cows. They're eating things that have these chemicals and these hormones in them. right? I'm not making this up. You can do your own research. I encourage you to do your own research. So this idea that tofu is, it's like, okay, well, who's most threatened by people eating tofu? Probably the meat industry, right? People that say like, hey, I could go eat this awesome, yummy plant-based food versus this meat that we know all these things that it does to our environment and to the animal itself. And who's most threatened? Well, probably the meat industry. And so what are they going to do? They're going to try to, you know, scare people, poke holes in the value of plant-based lifestyle. And, you know, I'm not out to get the meat industry, guys. I'm not trying to cause trouble. All I'm saying is just like, if that's something that you've ever considered, there's, I don't know if people still do this, but there's like this idea of meatless Mondays or meatless Fridays, one of the two. Meatless Mondays sounds cooler, right? So maybe just stop eating meat for one day. What kind of impact would that have? If you eat a quarter pounder, you know, once a day, and you just stopped that, you know, 450 divided by 4 is 110-ish, 11, 12, 12 and a half. I'm going to go with 12 and a half, yes. So 112.5 gallons of water you could save with one meal, friend. 125 gallons. How many showers can you take with 125 gallons of water? How many freaking people that need clean water could drink 125 gallons of water? That's a lot. It's a lot. And we don't see it. And so it's not, you know, out of sight, out of mind, right? We don't see it. It's like, ah, but, oh gosh, you know, hey, don't water your lawn. And it's like, yeah, that's water. Watering our lawn might be kind of wasteful, might be kind of that, but like not when we look at it from that perspective, right? So that's it. So I'm going to, it's hard to not sound preachy or soapboxy talking about something like this. And so, you know, there's part of me that's just like, oh, don't even bring it up, right? And I actually, one of the reasons it came up for me was I was on Facebook and it remind, you know, it's like, hey, here's a memory of something you posted 8 years ago. And it was me, it was like this post, a quote of Paul McCartney. And he was saying like, hey, if you want to save the world, there's an easy way to do it. Stop eating meat. Think about it. You help the environment. You stop suffering. You're not, you know, you stop animal suffering. You're causing less animal suffering anyway. And you're saving water. You're saving all these valuable resources. And you're also, because, you know, if you stop eating a lot of cows and they're polluting the air with their, you know, with the methane, then you're also helping the environment that way too. So you are doing all these things all at once. And all you have to do is just change your diet a little bit. Now, of course, most people aren't going to be wanting to do that. And I'm not trying to force you to do that again. But it is what I wanted to share with you today, is that if you are serious about helping the planet in any way, shape, or form, and your health, consider doing some research around meat and eating it. And until next time, my friend, be flowing.
Hi, friend, Winston here. Thank you for listening to the Find Your Flow podcast. I really appreciate you spending time here. So I want to hook you up with some free stuff from the Find Your Flow shop and some awesome discounts. So go ahead over to findyourflow.com/podcast VIP. That's podcast VIP, as in very important person, as you are to me for being a subscriber to the podcast on your favorite listening stations such as iTunes or Spotify or whatever. And I appreciate you so much for listening. Go there, put in your name and email address, findyourflow.com/podcast VIP, and I will send you some cool stuff. Thank you again, friend, for listening. Take care, and back to the show.